This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone
are my redemption. Yes, Father, we celebrate your presence in this place. You transform us. Thank you for every story that is represented here this afternoon. Oh God, we celebrate every journey that you are walking. Every celebration over every person's life in this place. Oh God, you are more serious about us than we can ever imagine. Oh God, tonight this afternoon we come and we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will be real to us. Not in the loudness of life. Not in the spectacular things even that we see that you perform in and through us, but in the small, silent moments in your presence. No, God, we realize this afternoon that we so many times want to be in control of our lives. We've got amazing opinions about so many things. And yet it does not matter, because the truth is that you hold the world in the palm of your hand, the universe. And we celebrate just being part of it. We pray this afternoon that you will become a revelation to each one of us. And as we tonight listen to your word, that you will become a living reality. That you will not just be a religion to us. That you will not just be a story in history that we can be reminded of. A hero, a superhero that lived some other time. But our best friend. And this afternoon we pray that you will become our best friend, the Lord over our lives, the one who leads us, who guides us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please find your seats, guys. It's amazing to be here. Thanks to the worship team. You guys are precious. Thanks to everyone that is here. This afternoon, you could have been in bed, it's so cold, with a stroopwafel. Looks like that is what most of you eat in this place. It's amazing. We've enjoyed it so much this weekend. And I want to commend all of you. It's amazing to see your hearts. It's such a blessing to spend time around you. We can see the fingerprints of the leaders of this church all over your lives as well. And we can see the fingerprints of Jesus, which is most important. And we know that they lead you to such a place. They don't think a lot of themselves. They just, are such ordinary people loving God, thus, or extraordinary. you know, just spending time a weekend at your house makes you feel at home again. So thanks for that. You are not just parents to this church, but also to a church there, a little church there in the place called Wimbledon, where we play tennis every day, all the day, all year long. We don't do work, we just play tennis. Yeah, whenever you tell people that we have a church in Wimbledon, they say, yes, tennis. We know by now that that's at least something that people know about our church. I want to share with you a word, but I want to ask you please to write down some scriptures this afternoon. The reason for that is that we are actually trusting to impart into your life so that you can go and this week spend time in the scriptures yourself, because this is a lot of scriptures. And I know all the books about preparing sermons says don't use so many scriptures, so this afternoon I'm not according to the book, but according to the obedience of Christ. What I can tell you is that we are on a journey as a church in London. We are on a journey where God is really convicting us to pray more. And the beginning of this year, you know, God said to me, why do you pray faithless prayers? Okay. I know this church does not pray faithless prayers. You've got a very faithful pastor and wife that always just pray the faith prayers. Eh? Is that right? all of the congregants here, you only pray faith prayers. Eh? Whatever you pray, that comes to fruition. Is it not so? You've seen all the results, and you can testify if I give you the mic now, and I'm going to do so, asking some of you to come and testify about the last thing that you prayed for. Okay, you get nervous. I see that. The fact of the matter is, none of us see breakthroughs on everything that we pray. Is it not so? Am I the only, you know, not so holy camoly person in this place? I can tell you there's a lot of prayers that I pray that I'm wondering why it's not coming to fruition. And God is saying to me that in the midst of that, I must ask Him some questions about those prayers. I must actually come to a place of wrestling with Him about those prayers to ask Him, God, why didn't you not come through for us? So yesterday we reached out in the city of Utrecht, and it was amazing. I must just say, for me, the best part of reaching out and going into the streets is the fact that God is doing something in your heart. Because when you spend time listening to the stories of people and even their resistance to the gospel, you get to know what their hearts are like in the city. And it makes you receive that burden of compassion that Jesus had when he sat around Jerusalem and he said, I'm like a hen gathering the chicks. And then you realize that getting that burden also brings a responsibility. We'll be praying for you guys, and we are praying for you guys in London, as you are for us. We know that you do it so faithfully. And I want to say to you that after an outreach like that, where you've reached 40 people and none of them got saved, you go and ask questions. Ooh, are you with me? Because there is none such thing as hard ground. Okay, church, are you with me? You must go on this journey with me this afternoon. Because one thing that I do know is wherever Jesus is, the yoke is broken. Because Jesus has the anointing to do so. And that's why we must just get to the keys to unlock those doors that He's giving us. And I want to speak about that this afternoon, about a conversation with Him, speaking about relevant things where we can see faith prayers starting to change our lives. And so I just want to say, prayer opens the doorway for God to manifest miracles, healings, deliverance, restoration, signs and wonders wherever we go. And whenever we abide in Him, Jesus says, the things that we pray will come to fruition. And so, if that is the truth, the challenge for us is to abide in Him. The challenge is to hear His voice, His heart, and come back, you know, from a prayer life to a place where we can start to pray things into being. So listen to this story. Luke 11, verse 5 to 13. If you have your Bibles with you, please read with me and make some notes. You're going to go back to them this week. And He said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, let me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut. And my children,'" okay, I know the Dutch people are also very upfront. If you are anything like Renee, this will be the kind of thing that you will say, okay? Renee, we love you. You are amazing. You are not putting anything in tissues. You make sure that we all are focused. "And my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds." Who seeks finds. Are you still with me? Follow with me. "And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Woo-hoo. There's a story here. God's release of His Holy Spirit is inseparably connected to us asking for it. We don't receive because we don't ask. And so there's many challenges that I'm challenging myself with, and saying to God, "God, clearly you cannot give me anything that I'm not asking for." And God is even saying to me, "Define the things that you're asking to me in much detail, because I want to hear your heart. It's not just about the things that you are asking, it's actually about the detail that we can have a conversation about, because in the detail lies your heart." And so many things that we are trusting God for, you know, is dormant because we are not following it up with conversations with Him. And I know that we sometimes must go back to those things. Now, in the beginning of the year, we had a, can we call it a campaign? I don't like campaign because it almost sounds like a political party. But we had a campaign in the church of 21 days of prayer, and we had little faith cards, two sets, the one for people that we are trusting God for. And we will, do we have it here today as well, the cards, or not? Okay, so we'll do it another day. But we had some cards, people that we are praying for, and then a card, the mountains that is set before me. And so we've been starting to, for 21 days, just enter into it and praying through those things in the small groups and individually. And it's strange to see that after 21 days, if you revisit it, how you forgot about that card. How you sometimes are not serious enough about the breakthrough that God wants to bring in those areas, that you forget about it. And so revisiting them also sometimes, you know, bring you back to a place where you can testify where you forgot about what you asked God and God came through for you. Listen to this one, Genesis 32, 26. This was Jacob, and Jacob at the time had to wrestle with the angel, and then he was wrestling the whole night with this angel, and it was... I don't think because he was so strong, but because he was so persistent that the next morning the angel spoke to him and he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Who of you have burdens in this church? Things that trouble you? Okay, there's at least a few honest people. You must talk about the honesty in this church. Is there things that you, in the middle of the night, would you know, wake up and you can't go back to sleep because you are thinking about these things and it goes on in your mind and you, am I the only one, the unsafe pastor? Okay, now I'm saved, I promise you. I love Jesus. All of us have burdens. So my next question would be quite a setup. Who of you pray every day and enter into the presence of God? At least they're honest. The honesty comes out now. The reason why I'm asking is not to expose you this afternoon, but I can tell you we are not spending enough time with God to enter into His presence, to see things coming to fruition in our lives, and we actually forget the conversations that we have with Him, and we struggle through life, and we have these burdens that is lying on our lives, and we forget that we can actually lift them if we spend time with the King of all kings that said, all you who are heavy laden, that has burdens, come to me because I will take that burden off you. So I'm spending time with God and I'm saying, God, whenever I get a burden, I'm going to put it on paper. I'm going to pray into it until you give me the answer. I will not let you go until you speak to me. Some of you are sitting here tonight and this afternoon, I tried to figure out where we are. Ian said it's morning, so I don't know. but what I can tell you is some of you are sitting here this afternoon and you have a budget that's not happening. Some of you are sitting here and your marriage is really under a lot of trouble and it's burdensome. Some of you are sitting here and you've got a boss at work that is just too Dutch. No, I'm just seeing because you will say to me if I use wrong examples. We are sitting here and we call ourselves Christians, but we don't unburden ourselves with the King of all kings. And the challenge to you and I are to come back to the place of spending time with Him, praying things through so that we can see results in our lives. And I'm not saying that it's going to look like you want it to look. Because God might, let things happen in your life around those burdens that is sometimes nasty, as the Americans would say. You know what? We need to spend more time with the King of all kings and bring our burdens to Him. Listen to this one. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. And He told them a parable to the effect, and you're going to read it this week again, so please write it down. To the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Okay, so we know what is the purpose of this conversation. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Hey! And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect, who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? All of us, those who are like me, that's praying faithless prayers, God is seeking for people on the earth with prayers of faith. People that can actually believe and trust in Him to bring their circumstances to the obedience of Christ. And my message to you this afternoon is, God wants to engage with you. He wants the best for your life. He wants those burdens to be no burdens anymore. And He wants to turn them into the most beautiful rivers of life that you will ever experience. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Woo! Guys, if we know that prayer is the answer, why are we not praying? Listen to this, Luke 5:16. This is Jesus, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. There was one boundary that Jesus had that was very important in his life. Now, I can just tell you, Jesus had an almost 24-hour day because never people would leave him alone because they always just brought their needs to him. But there was one time when everyone knew you don't spend time with Jesus. That was the time that he went to the mountain to go and pray. Spend time with the Father. Now for you, and I hear this a lot in Europe and in UK, I'm so busy. And I'm almost to the point of fullness. Because all that you hear always from people in the Northern Hemisphere is, we've got so busy lives, and we are so busy, and we have so many things to do. And I can tell you, if that is the truth, then I want to say to you this afternoon, you are where Jesus are. The only difference is that Jesus knew that if you want a busy life, you need the prayer closet so much more. If you are willing to be challenged and do whatever God has called you to on this life and want to be busy and do great and extraordinary things, guess what? Your prayer life must be more to sustain whatever you are doing. Otherwise, you're in trouble this afternoon. And I see many burned out people. In our NHS system, the health system, I can tell you there's more people with burnout and depression and all kinds of psychological situations because they don't know the prayer closet, the place where they unburden themselves. And if you are such a person this afternoon, if you spend so much time being busy and significant in this life, make sure to get back to the prayer closet because it's going to change your life. Rather, be productive in getting the breakthrough in Christ than telling yourself that you can do without it. Jesus even did it through loud cries and tears of earnestness. Listen to this, Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Because he loved God and he thought, you know, God was just this amazing father that would give him direction, that will give him all the answers. But Jesus could not afford not to cry loud cries in front of the Father. Listen to Luke chapter 22 verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So Jesus knew, when circumstances are getting more difficult, you pray more earnestly. Are you with me? When circumstances are getting worse, I can't imagine living a life in the Northern Hemisphere or wherever in the world. If you want to live a busy life, I can tell you that busy life must be sustained by the prayer closet. Because Jesus needed it to become more earnest before the Father so that he could fulfill the promises of the Father in his life. Listen to this, Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hey, Jesus is praying for you, my friend. Those people that we've reached yesterday, Jesus is praying for them. Are you? Because he wants to put his burden on us when it comes to an expectation for the lost. That is a burden that he wants to share with us. Because he wants us to receive the compassion, the heartbeat of those who are not so fortunate. Jesus started his church with prayer. In Acts chapter 2, while praying, the church was born. While they were praying, the Holy Spirit came down. So don't expect the Holy Spirit to come down if you don't pray. Now, I want to tell you, we are always expectant about great revivals that Christ is going to bring, and our city is going to be known by, you know, a revival where everyone will know about Jesus, but that will not happen if we don't birth it in prayer. This city will not change. It will not come to salvation if it's not birthed in prayer. Acts chapter 4, and I know your pastor couple, they love praying. They are so serious about it. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God in boldness. So verse 31, and when they had prayed. Things happen when we pray. The default for the New Testament church was always, when we are in trouble, okay, I want participation here. We pray. When we get whipped, and rejoice. Okay, when we need answers, we? Okay, you're getting it. People, the default mode for the New Testament church was always, in all circumstances, pray. So let me tell you, if you've got burdens in your family, start to pray. If you've got problems in your workplace, stop moaning and groaning about it and start to pray. Have you been there before your boss comes in and anointed his seat and prayed over him? Then you have not prayed enough. Go there tomorrow morning, not when he's there, he's going to really give you a hard time. Guys, we don't pray for our leaders. In this country, we are complaining about what is not right, but I can tell you, are you praying for your leaders to change that? Because God can even autopilot them to do his will. But we must start to pray. Listen to this. Isaiah 62, verse 1 to 2. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. The prophet is Isaiah. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. This city will be known as a city of God. A city to the nations. A city that knows the righteousness of Christ. And listen to verse 6. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. They shall pray. They shall spend time with me. They will speak the ordinances of Christ to the city. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and make it as a praise on the earth. Guys, I want to say to you, I am wrestling with God and saying to him, I will not leave you until you bless me. I will not leave the city until you give me the answers. God, I want to see your righteousness in the neighborhood that I'm living in. My question to you is, are you praying the same for your neighborhood? Isaiah 56, verse 7. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. This is God's desire for his house. The temple at the time, but listen to the New Testament, Matthew 21, verse 13. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Now, can we have a conversation about this? Because in the context of chapter 21, there's these money changers all around the temple, and there's also the guys that's selling doves and all kinds of animals. Were they legitimate in being there? Yes, they were. You know why? And it's very practical. They were around the temple because if you wanted your sins to be redeemed, you had to get an animal, take that animal to the temple, and almost pay for your sins. That's how the Old Testament works. We know that. So how would you, in a city like Jerusalem, catch a dove? Or a goat? Or a lamb? The only way that you could do that is to buy that from the people that is in and around the temple. So the fact that they were there is not so wrong. The money changers were there because the money changers, actually, because people were coming from all over with different currencies, had to exchange money so that the money could be used to give to the temple priests. So they were very legitimate in being so, but Jesus had a problem with them because Jesus understood that their intentions was not so good. They were busy making money out of the situation, and the surrounding, the atmosphere around the temple should not be a place where people are being taken advantage from. When you are in and around God, God don't like it when you take advantage of the situation of holiness and Him communing with us. Because around God, the one thing that He does respect, the atmosphere that He do want around Him, is the one of prayer. The one of people spending time with Him. And His fierce battle with these people all around the temple was, listen, you're missing the point. I don't want this atmosphere around this place. I want a holy reference toward God. I know that spending time with God is precious. And so I can tell you that the church sometimes get it wrong. We are sometimes so fascinated by all kinds of stuff that's got nothing to do with the presence of God or with people spending time with God. And I can tell you there's even people missing the point and making money and all kinds of stuff out of church and church life and Christianity that's got nothing to do with God. And let God be the judge over us. I'm saying that with a lot of fear, because what I can tell you is, let us as a church not get this wrong. We are not spending time with great worship and amazing stuff around us so that we can think that we are in a holy camoli, very nice place. We are here referencing the King of all kings. We are here to live for the one that is holy. We are here to spend time with Him. You know, for us, there's a place that we get into where heavens actually stand still. Revelations 5:8. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Woo! This is precious stuff. Every prayer that you are praying is in a bowl up there in heaven. And it's precious. It's precious. Even the angels say, "Oh God, just listen to this. They have prayed it. Can we fulfill it? Can we do it, God? Is this your will?" Are you with me this afternoon? Heaven stands still when saints start to stand in the gap and start to pray and talk to God. Hebrews 4:16. Let us in with confidence. With confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time and help of need. Joel 2:15. I've heard it previously in this weekend as well. 2:18. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bridal chamber between the vestibule and the altar. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, "Spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations." Why should they say among the people, "Where is their God?" Then the Lord became jealous for His land and had pity on His people. We will press in when others stop praying. And I'm saying that with a lot of humility this afternoon, because I'm telling you, the people that reach the heartbeat of God is the people that press in and say, "I will not leave you until you bless me." And I can say to you this afternoon, it's for the people that wants it the most. Do you want to see the will of God in your life? Do you want to experience the presence of God in your life? Because if you want it bad enough, He will come and visit you. He will speak to you. He will make known to you. And nobody, not your boss, not your family, not your pastor, nobody will be able to resist God's will in your life. If you are willing to sit at His feet and trust Him to bring down the mountains in your life. So I want to be practical as we end off this session. And I want to say to you guys, it's time to pray. It's time to press in and trust God to change our lives, to change our circumstances. And some other time, get those cards, you know, and really trust to be in accountability with one another. Because one thing that I do know is we need one another to stay accountable and to pray things through. And so I want to give a few practical pointers, and I hope that you can write them down as we come to a close today. Because I'm hoping that this will enhance at least your time spent with God so that you can see breakthroughs. Listen to the first one. Make a decision to dedicate time to God alone. If you don't dedicate time with God and say, listen, for the next half an hour, even though there's so many things that I still must do, I am going to now for the next half an hour just spend time with God. Your mobile phone will take your attention. Your task assignment for the day and your goal setting will find all the attention, because there's so many voices that shouting out at us. And I'm telling you, if you are going to think that you are going to spend time with God with your mobile phone on next to you, you make a mistake. Because time spent with God must be consecrated time. And I know that we've got busy lives. You know, it's the best that you can do it every morning, but if not, make sure that at least once a week you spend quality time with God. Go in His throne room, unburden yourself by writing down those things that's burdening you, and make sure that you pray through them so that God can give you answers, so that you can go with a strategy into your next week. Number two, have a pen and paper close by to write distractions down. This is an important one. I can tell you why. Because what happens when I go and sit down, and maybe I'm the only sinner in this house again, then I will repent. But I go and sit down, and then the next moment I think by myself, okay, I must just not forget to tell this person send a message to this person that has a birthday today, just to say happy birthday. I must just not forget today to put out the rubbish. I must just remember to today, you know, pay my municipal bill. Okay, I'm the only sinner in this house. You guys spend consecrated time to God with no distractions. These things happen. So just know that it's natural. But the only way that you get these distractions away from you is have a little paper next to you. That's your to-do list. And you write those things down and you say, I'm not going to do it in my consecrated time. I'll remember afterwards to get back to these things. Are you with me? That helps to get that thought out of your mind, and to, even if it means I must go and watch Facebook or whatever. Some of you spend too much time on your social media. But I'm promising you, you remember that you want to do it, write it down. Okay? So that afterwards you can get back to that. Number three. It's not numbered correctly, so please keep up with me. I didn't change that. Have a pen. Number three, worship God and center your thoughts. Prayer should be calling out to God, admitting that you are not able, surrendering to Him in faith that He will solve your problems in His time and way. If you struggle to zoom in when worshiping, put on a worship CD. Okay, so number three, make sure that you put your thoughts in the right place by focusing on God, whatever that means. If it means putting on a worship CD, or, you know, if you can play an instrument, do that. but focus on the greatness and the awesomeness of God. Number three, four, recap on previous prayer moments with God. And the reason for that is thanksgiving. Because those thanksgiving moments with God where you say, thank you for yesterday, God. I prayed this and you came through for me. Thank you that my children are safe. Thank you, Father God, that we have provision over our house. Because that thanksgiving moments allows you to be encouraged. The second reason why you do that is you can pray further into those things. Because it means that yesterday you've written down a few things and God did not give you answers yet. And you have not seen the breakthrough that is necessary. If we want to have breakthroughs in our prayer life, we must revisit the things that we did pray for until we see the breakthrough. And sometimes it's not going to be a massive breakthrough. It's just going to be God directing you or giving you guidance in that area to do certain things. Okay, and we'll get to that just now. So number five is unburden your heart by writing things that bother you, puzzle you down. Okay? So you've got this list now of things that you know today is going to be a burden. Things that you struggle with and that we don't spend time with God, so there's not an expectation for us to see His hand in those things. But when you write them down, there's an expectation that God, I've got this burden. Give me answers concerning this thing. And then God comes and He allows you to get revelation on it so that you can pray into your circumstances. Okay, are you still with me? Number six. Pray every mountain through until you hear God's response. It might be, and there's different things that's happening. A question to you. Many times God answers to me in questions. So I'm asking God, we don't see people getting saved in Utrecht Street. And God asked me, so did you guys pray enough? Or whatever. God many times answers us in questions. Am I the only one? Is there more of you that experience this? God also give you clarity by giving you a solution, saying to you, this is what you should do, this is this is the problem that you have, and give you insight into it. Also instruction. God say, tomorrow morning you will stand up and you will go and arrange with that person that you owe money to, and you will write them a letter and you will make an arrangement with them. Okay? So God gives us instructions. God says to you, no, your children needs discipline. Go and sort it out. Okay? Or silence. Sometimes God does not answer us. And then we freak out, oh, God is not speaking to me. Relax. It just means that you need to pray more into these things. It needs more time. And then write it down for follow-up and confirmations. Number seven, be honest about your feelings. It's not just a goal-orientated exercise, but a relationship. This is an intense, beautiful relationship that God wants to lead you in, and He wants to talk about it. He's not interested in just giving you the answer or the breakthrough or the amazing thing to happen. He actually wants to talk about it so that He can come closer to you in relationship. And then, don't limit God in your quiet time. He speaks under the shower, in the shopping line, the car, people, circumstances. Be creative to always be vigilant and open with expectation. And pray in tongues. Pray until God gives you the answers. But guys, do it wherever you are. It means that when you go and you stand in that long queue, at the shop, God wants to speak to you. God wants to say to you, hey, you are now so obsessed with your issues. Can I just talk about the person in front of you's issues? Because if you've prayed for them, you would have seen that they really need me. And as you start to pray for the person in front of you, you see the beautiful things that God wants to do in their lives, and you see God reaching toward them. Doing prayers, number 10. Sometimes God tells you to say or do something to somebody, even unknown. Do it immediately. And then the last one, have a fixed course list in the back of your journal, praying every day for it, like your leaders, your family, protection, and provision. Okay. At the back of your journal, and I want to encourage you to get a prayer journal. If you don't write things down, you will never be able to get back to them because you will forget about them. You will not see breakthrough because you've not prayed enough. There's a time when that tipping scale of those prayers in heaven start to pour out and God do something about it. And all that I want to say to you, there's a tipping scale whenever we pray where God says, okay, listen, you are now ready to receive. I will go to war on your behalf. I will make your plains straight or your mountains straight. I will make sure that you will experience the blessings over your life. Because God loves us so much that the more we pray, the more God says, listen, they are so faithful in coming to the throne room. I cannot resist them. I cannot leave them to. I'm a father. Whenever my children start to pray, I just feel the burden of just blessing them. And some or other time, God comes to us and he says, I want to just brag about you. I just want to give you the opportunity to experience the blessing of my faithfulness over your life. And you know what? These moments and times, you know, in London, we are praying because we don't see breakthroughs. But guess what? We're pushing through. We're pushing into. We're doing it because some or other time, God is going to say, yay! It's exciting. These children of mine, they've got faithful hearts. They've got hearts of faith in me. I will bless them because I'm a faithful father. In your circumstances, I've heard so many people in the streets of Utrecht saying, you know, God has deserted them and God is an ugly God because he's doing these cruel things. And I'm telling you, the world are experiencing this because the children of God are not praying enough to tell the testimonies. People are not experiencing the breakthroughs of God because the church is dead. There's so many dead churches around us that is not revealing the presence and the beauty of God in testifying about breakthroughs in their lives. And so through the ages, I see so many testimonies of churches doing nothing to us that people are now believing that in the city. But as soon as we can come to the place of pressing into and pressing through, we will see the breakthroughs and we will have the testimonies and we will be able to tell people about our God. He's a faithful God. We cannot stop. We will not keep silent. We will not dare to walk away from the throne room of God because that is the place where we will be built up. So my word to you this afternoon is we must pray more. We must spend time in the presence of God more so that we can revisit our journals. In a year from now, you must get back to the 18th, is it the 8th? No, 17th of March 2019. And you must read in your journal, God said to me that he will come through in these circumstances. And I've got a testimony to tell. Because in the meanwhile, awesome things has happened. My children are blessed because they are soaked in the presence of God. Because I prayed on the 17th of March, 2019, a prayer over their lives, and I kept praying until I saw the breakthrough. Parents, stop being good parents and become godly parents. And I'm saying that because I've got two teenagers in my home. And having them there challenged me to the ends of the earth. But I've got a commitment with God to pray about their circumstances every day. I'm trusting God by the grace of God that they will be godly people. That they will experience the favor of God upon their lives. And I'm saying by the grace of God because we cannot make decisions on their behalf. And I will not feel guilty even if they do make wrong decisions. Because it's their lives. But one thing that I can tell you, I'll be praying for them. I'll be trusting God to do whatever I can. And the same for all of your circumstances. I want to say to you, you're sitting here this afternoon, you're saying, but listen, my work is just a mess. My boss is horrible. Let's stand quickly before you sleep. Can I have the worship team here? Because this afternoon, all that I'm trusting God for is mountains to be plodded down. That mountain that you believed is ruling your life must come down. That mountain that you were so overwhelmed about, that you said it will not come down, and I'm settling for second best because you know, maybe life is just about what it is at this moment. God has a desire to come and meet you at that place, to speak into your circumstances and tell you the story, what he thinks about your mountains. Because when Jesus speaks, circumstances start to change. In that prayer closet, in his presence, the mountains become small mountains. Our circumstances become small. But why are we not spending more time in the presence of God so that life can become sensible?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.